The Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 13, Bury Me Here is over, but we're just getting started here on The Walking Dead, the post-show recap, and now here are the guys who have been replanting all of the garden due to the weevils. God, we hate the weevils. I'm Rob Sesternino here with Alex Kidwell and talking on the line with Josh Wegler.
Wow. How's it going, Alex? How's it going, Rob?
Yeah, going pretty good.
Yes.
Gotta watch out for those weevils.
Gotta watch out.
Gotta watch out for the weevils. The Weevil Dead.
They're coming.
Oh, the Weevil Dead. Yeah. I thought that the Weevil, I don't know, that was strange. Aren't Weevils Pokemon? Am I making that up?
You would know better than me. The Alex is probably the Pokemon expert on the panel.
Yeah. There is a Weevil Pokemon. This is not just completely made up out of nowhere. Obviously, there's also the true Weevil, which is the bug that destroys the King's Garden.
Yeah, they'll mess up your cantaloupes.
Yes, I thought they were like gophers. Now I'm seeing that. Yeah.
Quick question. What happened to the 12th cantaloupe? There were 11. There are only 11 cantaloupes here in this podcast studio right now. Did somebody take one of these off?
What's the street value of a cantaloupe here in the zombie apocalypse?
Apparently a lot.
It's worth a couple of lives,
these cantaloupes. These are really good cantaloupes that Ezekiel's been growing.
It really is. But first of all, I don't want to bury the lead here. This was a great episode of The Walking Dead tonight. I don't want to dance around it too much before we say that. Right, Josh? Are you in agreement with us?
I feel like great is probably pushing it a little further than I would go.
What do they have to do for a great episode for you, Josh?
Did I not gush about that mid-season premiere?
Yes.
I loved that episode.
Yes.
Did I not greatly enjoy the Eugene and Negan episode? I'm just trying to keep it real here, Rob.
Okay.
Literally nobody is going to try to stop Morgan from just beating the life out of Richard in front of them.
Sir Richard is kind of a douche.
Not a single person is going to raise a hand. Nobody is going to even once attempt to rip Morgan off of this guy who they've known for months and months, perhaps years at this point.
Yeah.
Morgan went full clear really easily in this episode, I thought.
Yeah, that was rough. I think there's probably an element of like, you know, everyone's looking at Ezekiel to give the command to stop him, and Ezekiel just doesn't know what to do in that moment. So if Ezekiel's not given the word, no one's going to act. But he didn't know what to do. Like, that would be my guess if I'm trying to...
Well, why doesn't Ezekiel know what to do? This is Sir Richard. This is a guy that he allows to stand on the stage in the auditorium, in the royal auditorium with him. He knows Richard. He and Richard are tight. And he's just going to let Morgan kill Richard with zero explanation whatsoever without once trying to intervene is really kind of beyond me.
It's a crisis of leadership.
Yeah. In fairness, I think that maybe everybody there in the kingdom might have been a little off their game following the death of Benjamin. So maybe that has to do with it.
Nah. All right.
So
fine.
That was it. That was the deal breaker for you. You can't get past that.
I don't think it was like the deal breaker for me, but I think that, you know, listen, it was kind of a slower episode.
I thought the first half was a slow burn, yeah. but I did think that then the second half made up for it.
I thought that I think that the whole circumstances surrounding Richard's death, it feels very forced to me. I like that we have this role reversal with Morgan and Carol right now. Mm-hmm. I like that dynamic. I think that we leave Morgan in a really interesting spot. I just feel like we got there really swiftly. I feel like, I don't know, especially for an episode that played really slow, I feel like we made that leap from no killing full Eastman to going straight back to full clear rather abruptly. And just because Benjamin passingly reminds him of what it was like to have a son, this is the thing that's going to cause him to snap. Just, I don't know. It didn't play perfectly well for me.
You don't feel like there was enough there to earn that, where Morgan has sort of like, through his experience with the cheesemaker, where he's sort of like completely compartmentalized that part of his life, where he never went back and explored those feelings that were really so emotional and real for him. And then having that whole scab just that he thought was not even part of him anymore, just ripped open over the loss of Benjamin. That wasn't enough to drive him back to clear Morgan.
I don't know. I think just for like to have it happen so quickly, like to have it all, you know, come undone within like what is it, like a day probably? Yeah. I mean, he says go bring us the one cantaloupe tomorrow, so it's only a day.
No,
I don't know.
And hold on, let me just also say, now that's of course one interpretation of the events of the episode. But Josh, do you feel like that Morgan and Sir Richard may have talked this through, and that Morgan did what Sir Richard wanted him to do?
My sense is that Morgan did, you know, Morgan is taking the ball and running with it. Like, he is picking up Sir Richard's plan and executing it. I do think that that's got to be part of it. Unless he really did just snap and this was just pure lunacy, but then that feels like this whole episode was a little bit of a waste of time. I think that it was probably more of an actualization of what Richard was going for. Probably also felt super good, just on yeah. like a basic full clear level, but I don't think that Richard knew what was coming. I think that Richard thought that young Benjamin was the sacrifice, and that he was probably going to be okay for the next little while.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a theory that we missed a big piece of the last piece of the conversation between Morgan and Richard there, whereby, you know, we're getting these lines there, and, you know, I could definitely be reading into something that's not there, but he's saying stuff like, Morgan, you're going to have to kill, and we need to make a grand gesture to show them that we're on our side. I almost was starting to think, like, was Richard in on this? Did Richard and Morgan come up with a plan to kill Richard in a big dramatic way in front of everybody to set the stage for what they wanted to happen?
I like that theory. The thing that holds me back from going there is I think that Richard says in that same scene, I wanted to die. Like, I wanted to be the guy that kicked this thing off. I was ready to do it, but it has to be Benjamin. Like, he says something to that effect where it's like, it was Benjamin. It wasn't me. I wanted to do it. It didn't work out. And I think the way that he's talking about it, it's like his mind is already going to what's plan B. I don't think that he's offering himself up to Morgan. It's like, now you can kill me. The sense that I got was more like, I was trying to do a thing, the thing didn't work, now we really got to come up with a new thing to make sure that this works so that Benjamin's death wasn't for nothing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it does seem he definitely wants to be a martyr. You know, that was the initial move, clearly. But I think you make a good point there that I had forgotten he does have a line there about, but now I'll be the one to lead the army. So, right, if you were planning on leading the army, then yeah, that's a bit more questionable. But I do like the theory. I still want to explore.
I like the theory, too.
To go back to that scene with Morgan and Sir Richard, you know, I try to transcribe what's happening in these scenes. I don't have it word for word, but what they ended up talking about was Sir Richard was saying, look, we can use what happened. We get it, he wants to say to them. We know how to go on. We have to do something to make them believe us, and then we can crush them in one fell swoop. So I think it's a very interesting question as to whether or not this was a Sir Richard and Morgan joint, or this turns out to be that Morgan sees this is a good plan, but I need to make Sir Richard the sacrifice. Because I think that the point in that favor to say that maybe they weren't working together on it was where we saw that Sir Richard went up to the Savior and said to him, hey, we get it. Like, he started to give the spiel himself, and Morgan's like, no, let's call an audible here. This is how it needs to go. Right. And then I'll kill him in front of those guys. And I was like, no, we get it. We totally get how this works.
That seems like it would have been too much rehearsal to get into. Right. Like, they're not Oscar winning actors, these guys.
Right. I don't know why, if it was all a play and that Sir Richard was like, why doesn't he like throw a punch at Morgan or something like that to really up the ante of to try to give Morgan more of a reason to kill him in front of everybody if he's going to have some sort of a sacrifice, sort of like when Jon Snow is captured by the wildlings, Josh.
Yes. I don't know. I think the sense that I get is I could see the argument that this is premeditated for Morgan, although it does also seem like he's authentically snapping. So maybe it's somewhere in between those two things. But it felt like this was a shock to Sir Richard. I don't think that Sir Richard was ready to die this day. I think he was ready to die yesterday.
But I don't think that Morgan went full clear and had a breakdown when he killed Sir Richard. I think that that was a premeditated decision to kill Sir Richard, or if not premeditated, it just came to him like in a flash to do it. I think that when he was having that full clear breakdown was when he found that grave with the bury me here. I think that then he was having a breakdown. I think that he was in control of himself when he killed Sir Richard.
Okay. Yeah. Doesn't this this episode feel a little like Rogue One-esque, where we're like sowing the seeds of rebellion a little bit? Like, that's kind of how I was feeling. It's like, you know, and even Talking Dead has this line at the end of the moratorium tonight where it's like, goodbye, Richard and Benjamin, you gave your life, but in doing so, you breathed life into the rebellion or something like that. I really was feeling some Star Wars vibes from Knight.
Well, I think that that's something that we've been tracking. You know, I think that we've been saying, like, you can totally imagine the scenario where somebody from the kingdom dies, and that's what's going to spur Ezekiel into action, or even spur Morgan into action. And I think we saw that in this episode. Richard and Benjamin both dead by the end of the hour points to us on our respective draft teams, Rob, by the way. We both drew blood this week.
Okay, so I had Benjamin and you had Sir Richard?
That's correct. Okay. So it's still an even score, but we're both on the board.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that you saw this coming. Like, I think that you saw that Richard and Benjamin are on the show to die someday, and their deaths will somehow galvanize the kingdom into action. And I think where we left off in this episode, Ezekiel seems ready to finally hear what Richard was saying.
The other interesting part of this from the episode has to do with Carol and her discovery. We saw that conversation that she had with Daryl a few weeks back, where Daryl said, "No, everything's fine." Or something along the lines. So she thought, under the impression that, yo, we negotiated a deal with the saviors. And then that just did not sit right with her. We saw her at the beginning of the episode sort of like get up in the middle of the night and head to Hilltop and try to interrogate Morgan about this. And it probably was not too convincing for Carol when Morgan was like, hey, that's a you and Daryl conversation. Leave me out of this.
Yeah.
I'm happy to take you there. Like, I'm happy to bring you to Rick if you want to talk this through with Rick, but I'm not the guy. You're not going to talk to me.
Yes, okay. Which I think is a pretty good sense. Like, if I'm asking you, Josh, hey, is everybody we know still alive? And you're like, look,
you know, I don't feel equipped to answer. You know, I can't speak on behalf of everybody.
Yeah. Not inspiring. No. Not inspiring.
No, not exactly an encouraging sign. Yeah.
And then we leave Carol for most of the episode. You know, she's involved with trying to resuscitate Benjamin. But then Morgan comes back to tell Carol what's going on. And he feels like, does she need to know what happened with everybody back at Alexandria? And eventually she asks him, I thought this was great dialogue, what happened to you? And Morgan just says, killed Richard. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. What have you done today?
Yeah.
I strangled him. Yeah.
And so he explains the whole deal with Negan, how he killed Glenn and Abraham, and also, by the way, Spencer and Olivia. And now Morgan is on the move. But Alex, what ends up happening here? We have some sort of like wife swap type situation, some sort of exchange student
trading
program.
Spaces. Yeah.
So what's happening there?
Yeah, well, it is. It's an episode of Trading Spaces. And I think, you know, I've been referring to it as Carol's house, but I think going forward, it's just going to be Crazy House. I think that's where you go to be alone and get out your crazies, because that seems to be what Carol needed it for. And now she kind of is aware, like, oh, Morgan, you need this crazy house more than I do. So why don't you go ahead and move in and I'll go back to civilization for a little while.
Yeah.
And what was the line? You can go, but you don't have to go.
Right. Which is the same thing that Ezekiel had told her in, I believe it's episode 2 of season 7, The Well. Where yeah. Carol, you know, she wants to be removed, but she like can't completely detach herself from all these people she's come to care about. And Ezekiel tells her, you can go and not go. And I think that is the idea of living a little ways away while still, you know, coming and visiting and having them bringing you pomegranates and stuff like that. Like, but it's
what's the point of that? Why, if, you know, Morgan is ready for battle, why does he need to sequester himself away from everybody else from the Hilltop?
I think maybe he's, well, you saw him, like,
I can't get too close to anybody anymore.
Sitting there just kind of polishing that knife a lot on the stoop. I think maybe you just want him to have like lots of personal space, like give him a wide bubble for a little while, because you don't know what he's going to do. And maybe when you're finally ready to unleash him on somebody, just point him in a direction. But until then, I think it's good to keep him aside and, you know, check on him periodically. But he's definitely, you know, he called Benjamin Dwayne. I mean, he's clearly not all together right now.
Okay, so he needs to have like some man cave time. Yeah. And needs to be alone. But why does Carol need to go and set up shop at the kingdom, Josh?
I think that Carol is ready. I think Carol is back. I think that we're finally in a place where Carol is going to be actively involved in the show. You know, she knows about Glenn and Abraham. She knows about the situation in Alexandria. She knows that Negan's in power. She knows that her friends are in trouble. She has seen what has happened to Morgan and what this world is currently doing to a guy like that. And I think she is now at the point where she's like, man, it really would be nice if I could just be here in Crazy House for the rest of my days. If I could really just live alone and not be bothered by anybody and not have to do anything super horrible and difficult in order to fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. But she's ready to do it because she has to. That's just where we are now. And she's got a skill set and she has to contribute it to the cause. So she comes back to the kingdom just to make sure that Ezekiel is aware that that's the situation. Just to make sure that Ezekiel knows, hey, by the way, we have to fight Negan now, right? Like, you know that that's no longer something we can avoid. And I think that Ezekiel is very clearly open to that immediately. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to war. We have to go to war. It's pretty obvious at this point. I mean, so I think that's really all it is. It's just Carol is ready to get back into action. And maybe I would say this is a great episode of The Walking Dead only because that is the final outcome. Mm-hmm. If we had walked away from this episode of The Walking Dead and Carol was still living alone in the hut, I would be furious.
Yes, Carol, the time is nigh. First, let me just plant this bonsai tree real quick.
They had to plant the royal garden. You could rip it all out, but you can build it up again. Yeah, there's a lot of monologuing going on in the monarchy that is the kingdom.
I like how that girl said she thinks she pissed herself.
Yeah, that was funny with the tiger. Not the best night for the CGI tiger, Josh.
Better than the deer,
but I feel like that maybe we might have used up a lot of that CGI tiger budget earlier in the season.
Or we're saving it for some Shiva attacks the sanctuary shots here.
Yeah, he was just like was pasted into the scene in the background in that one. It was not the best night.
I don't know.
It was like a Snapchat filter behind us. You're like, oh, look at my tiger. Oh.
Yeah. Does the kingdom have geo filters?
It didn't bother me as much. It didn't bother me as much as the deer. The deer was so bad. The deer was so obvious last week. I didn't think this was as obvious.
Not as bad. Yeah. Let's just talk through the Sir Richard plan here in this episode. You know, I thought it was interesting going back to when Sir Richard got into it with Daryl a few weeks back, where Sir Richard had this plan. Sir Richard's plans always involved like somebody has to die and then that will bring us into war. And so,
yeah, preferably Richard, yeah. Almost always.
Well, preferably
like,
it was Carol in the first draft of this plan. Yeah. And then Daryl like sussed that out that it was Carol, and then he ultimately saw Carol by the end of the episode. And then Sir Richard was saying to him like, hey, somebody, you know, needs to die to make this happen. And I forget the exact dialogue that Daryl said to him, but said, hey, how about you?
Yeah, maybe you. Yeah. You'd be good.
Why don't you do it? Yeah.
That'd be convincing.
It seems as though Sir Richard, you know, marinated on that and said, okay, I think you're onto something. And we saw him burying the backpack. We heard the very sad story of when Sir Richard escaped from the camp after his wife had been murdered or killed in some sort of a fight. I don't know, a fire. I'm not sure exactly whether it was Walker fire, a fight or whatever took down his wife. But then he went on the run with his daughter, Katie, and ultimately he lost her. And that's how he ended up to be in the condition that he's in. Alex, those Molotov cocktails really went by the wayside.
They did, yeah. And I believe it was an invading, if I remember, it was like an invading horde of screaming babies, I think he was talking about. Is that
there
what
was always babies, yeah.
Lots of babies, something about babies.
That can be a hellish nightmare, believe me on that one.
And a bunch, just like an army of Walker babies would be really terrifying.
Yeah, well, especially if they were the size of Judith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Undead children of the corn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh, would you rather fight 100 baby-sized Judiths or one regular-sized Judith?
Oh, my God. I think that I'd have to take on the 100 baby Judiths. It's my only chance. I don't think I've got a shot against the one.
And so this whole plan hinged on being one cantaloupe short. Now, I was trying to talk this through with Alex here, Josh, and maybe you can help shed some light on the situation. So the saviors send like 9 guys to go and pick up a shipment that comes on like a flatbed truck from the kingdom that they have to send like 6 armed security guards. And the shipment is 12 cantaloupes.
It's absurd.
Blame the weevils.
It's ridiculous.
Isn't that a lot of work on both ends? Yeah. For like, I can understand if 12 cantaloupes is part of the weekly shipment. The only thing that the saviors get from the kingdom in the whatever weekly, monthly, daily shipment is 12 cantaloupes.
Yeah, this is a bad offering. It's a not good offering. And what's surprising is that really this guy Gavin is very worked up over it, but he's not worked up over the fact that like all you brought me is cantaloupes. What? He's worked up over like you're missing a cantaloupe.
I thought the show implied that that is the shipment. I thought that they're like, boy, these guys are going to be pissed when they just are getting cantaloupe, and that was not. They were mad that hey, it's supposed to be 12 cantaloupes. Does Negan have like some sort of a cantaloupe fetish, Alex?
Well, maybe they have a different deal. I mean, we saw exactly.
Is Negan a Gallagher impersonator on the side, Josh?
He needs melons for something.
Oh, okay. Smash. Here comes Lucille.
Yeah. That's how he keeps everybody in line. He has, open mic nights, and he's the headliner every night.
Yeah, he comes and smashes some cantaloupes.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they've got a different deal than the Alexandria group. Maybe they make more frequent deliveries, and they're like, you know, today's Thursday. It's cantaloupe day, ladies and gentlemen.
But couldn't you load the 12 cantaloupes in the back seat? Like, why does it need to be a, you know, six guys in a flatbed truck to deliver 12 cantaloupes?
Sends a message.
You know, they really care about their cantaloupes. This is very, very precious cargo. And so you need to bring out your A squad in order to transfer the cantaloupes. What about this? What if it turns out that Eugene's a big cantaloupe guy and he put in a special request and all of this is Eugene's fault?
Oh, man, that would really be something.
Certainly be possible. And then to shoot somebody over one missing cantaloupe. I mean, if cantaloupes are so valuable, and then Ezekiel says, no, we'll bring you double cantaloupes tomorrow. Like, oh, that's, I mean, if everybody loves cantaloupe so much, I mean, double cantaloupe.
Yeah, double cantaloupe would be where it's at if you're a big cantaloupe
hour,
person.
By the way.
Yeah, well, he ends up, and then I think Gavin's like, you're gonna settle the balance. You're gonna come back tomorrow with one cantaloupe, no more, no less. Why say no to more? Yeah. I don't understand.
More would work too.
Yeah. Also, if your cargo was one cantaloupe, I think that probably there are more secure ways to handle the one cantaloupe. Like, shouldn't the cantaloupe, let's put it in like a bowling ball bag or some sort of like a backpack, and let's let somebody carry it, one of the passengers, instead of like loading it into some contraption and having it potentially fall out of the back of the flatbed truck if you hit a bump.
I thought they were making a Rube Goldberg device.
I thought it was like a catapult that when you open the back of the flatbed truck, then you get hit in the face with the cantaloupe like Amazing Race style.
Ha ha.
Well, you know, these could be Chekhov's cantaloupes. You know, it could be that the catapult, the cantaloupe catapult is in the future. Yeah. And, you know,
Ewok weapons now?
Molotov cantaloupe cocktail.
You know, we're sitting here wondering, all right, well, they've introduced this idea of Eugene knows how to make bullets and that's going to be the thing that's going to win the day. What if we're looking at the wrong thing? What if we should be looking at the cantaloupes as possible ammunition in the future war?
So are you saying that we're going to have potentially the people from the hill top put a bunch of cantaloupes in a net and then Negan stands right under it and then they lower the net full of cantaloupes on his head?
Douse him in Sir Richard's gasoline first and then do something with that.
Yeah,
that's exactly
so
what's gonna happen.
I thought that everything else was fine, but just the cargo that we were fighting over and how Sir Richard was so confident, oh, we'll be one cantaloupe short. They'll kill me over that.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, Gavin loves cantaloupes. This is gonna be a really difficult thing for him to handle.
Yeah, they'll definitely kill me for this.
I gotta be honest, like, I'm not a big cantaloupe guy. I wouldn't be so upset if they were missing a cantaloupe. Are you guys like devout cantaloupe eaters?
I mean, who's a devout cantaloupe eater?
I put it three on my power rankings.
Melon?
Yeah. I go watermelon, then a drop down to honeydew, and then a big drop down to cantaloupe for me.
But cantaloupe's fine. I'm not mad at it.
No.
It's a lot of work to get to the cantaloupe.
It's a lot of work to get to the cantaloupe, and when it's on the fruit cocktail platter, it's always mushy and just never good. It's just a bad texture situation, a little slimy.
Right, yeah. Right. If you get a good one, then it's a different story.
All right, call me when you find one. I haven't found it yet.
Okay, so the grave, is there any debate of who dug the grave in terms of bury me here? Because I did think for a moment when Morgan was having the meltdown that it maybe, did Morgan do this? But it was Sir Richard, 100%, correct?
100%, 100% Sir Richard. I mean, you see Sir Richard at this spot before everybody rolls up to it, before he, you know, he pushes the carts into place, before that whole situation happens. We see Sir Richard there, and I think he goes to that alley, and I don't remember there being a grave there when we saw him go there for the first
right.
time. So yeah, I think you just got to assume it was
but
him.
But would that have been clear, no pun intended, to Morgan and everybody else that had Sir Richard's plan gone as he drew it up, and then Gavin ends up killing him because they're one cantaloupe short? Would they have said, oh, bury me here. Sir Richard was the me.
I don't know. I don't think that he... I don't think that Richard really had laid behind, you know, like, or left behind any sort of clear instructions, again, like you said, no pun intended, about, like, what he had done. So I don't know how he would be, you know, thought of to be brought there to be buried.
Morgan's a resourceful guy. He'll find Katie's backpack and everything will be good.
Yeah. It's like some sort of like a scavenger hunt to figure out like, oh, Richard was me. Yeah. I got it. Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of work for someone that's not around anymore. I don't know why I'm doing this.
Well, at that point, too, I don't think Morgan even knew what a Katie was. Like, I think that at that point, Richard was still kind of holding on to his true origin story.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. Was there like a secret like suicide note that he left behind that he was able to rip up after it was Benjamin who got killed? Who knows? Who knows how that was going to
play? Must have left it in the trailer.
Yeah,
that's very possible. It was a rough week for Jerry, Josh, where we ended up seeing Jerry get smacked around by the Saviors. At first, he was told he could not even bring any cobbler with him on the run to go and drop off the cantaloupe. But finally, Ezekiel did end up relinquishing on that. We also saw that he has a pretty badass battle axe.
He has a pretty sweet axe. I hope that we one day get to see that in action. I felt like, I don't know, I love Jerry. I think that's great. I think that the fighting for the cobbler is always a good deal. There's so much cobbler in the kingdom that I don't know why you couldn't have road cobbler. That just feels like a thing that you should be able to have. What about cantaloupe cobbler? Would we be into that?
Can you make a cantaloupe cobbler?
I probably can.
I wonder if that's what they've been eating all along.
Cantaloupe cobbler?
They've got pomegranate. I know they've got some other fruits up in there, but...
Let me see. I'm going to Google it. Cantaloupe cobbler.
I just imagine...
Cantaloupe cobbler. Cantaloupe peach cobbler.
Wow.
Cantaloupe crunch cobbler.
Yeah, I don't think you want the cantaloupe to be standing alone. I think you want an assist from peach or apple or some other flavor in there.
Yeah, it could be a supporting flavor, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Jerry, though. I love Jerry so much. I hope that guy stays on the show forever.
Yeah, funny to see him with a battle axe, though. I'm starting to think of Jerry as a character that would be, you know, I could just as easily see someone like make him as their Dungeons and Dragons guy as put them in the Walking Dead universe at this point.
Yeah.
So in the episode, I want to just talk about the actual way they executed the execution of Benjamin, Josh. We've talked a lot about over these last couple of years of how The Walking Dead deals with cliffhangers. Ultimately, Benjamin would die in the episode, but they did shoot that scene in a weird way where we saw the gun move from Sir Richard to another target. And it was not obvious who was the person who was going to be killed there. I think we all assumed it was Benjamin, but I thought that was a weird way to give us that moment.
Yeah, I also thought it was a very weird way to give us that moment. But I also think, and as you just said, it was also a very Walking Dead way of delivering that moment. Like, that's just a way that the show likes to parse out its information.
Were they worried we were going to change the channel if we said it was Benjamin? Oh, it was just Benjamin. All right, what else is on?
Yeah, they really needed to leave us in suspense. Like, well, what if it had been Jerry? We would have been very upset if it had been Jerry.
Oh, my God, did they just kill Morgan?
Yeah.
Like, oh God! Thank God it wasn't Morgan.
Oh, he got behind that.
It was just that kid that they killed.
It's just stupid Benjamin.
Yeah. So I don't really understand what they were going for, especially when he ultimately ended up being killed in the episode. Like, I could understand if it was like a thing where it was like, okay, well, let's just give him a flesh wound. I feel like that's the typical Walking Dead thing that they did. Was this like when I talk about Alex, where they say, oh, we have a special guest on The Talking Dead, and then it's somebody who doesn't die, and then we say like, oh, see, we fooled you, it was somebody who didn't die. Was that they just like giving us the cliffhanger and then actually did kill someone?
I guess I don't know. I mean, yeah, they're, you know, it's always coming on a cliffhanger, I think, at this point with this show. I think that's something we just have to know going forward, that the big suspense moments are falling right before commercial break.
Okay, Josh, any final words on young Benjamin?
Alas, young Benjamin. We knew him decently well. Mm-hmm. He was good friends with Morgan. We will miss the flowing locks. We'll miss the flowing locks that young Benjamin brought to the table.
Yes.
He had a cool little brother who seems like he's still hanging in there, yeah, still doing all right. So the spirit of young Benjamin will live on.
And who was this girl, Josh?
I don't know. Yeah, Benjamin, I don't know, macking it on the side.
Was it Enid?
Yeah.
Was Enid two-timing on Carl, Alex?
Maybe. I don't know.
Poor Benjamin. Too pretty for this world, young Benjamin.
Too pretty. Yes. I mean, that we didn't see a lot of other young women at the kingdom.
Nope, no, not really.
I mean, was this like Chekhov's young woman, Josh?
I don't know.
Who was the girl that came to Ezekiel and said she pissed herself?
Oh, so maybe that was it.
Nabila?
That could be it.
I want to say her name was.
Nabila, I think.
Yeah.
Nabila.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sad that young Benjamin is gone, but it is a worthy sacrifice if it means the kingdom is going to get into action soon. The sooner we can get these guys moving, the better. Obviously, that's not happening until the season finale.
Okay. Well, we have 3 hours of the walking, or 3 entries left in this Walking Dead half season. It looks like next week we're going to pick things back up at the hilltop. We saw that Rosita and Sasha had that conversation about wanting to go and take out Negan. Where do you think we go from here, Josh?
Yeah, they want to pull a Sir Richard. They want to do the Richard move. I think that probably we will have an episode that is going to focus on that. Like, I think that we're going to see Sasha and Rosita's plan in action. Can't imagine that it's going to succeed. As we've talked about before, this is probably not the way you lose Negan, is at Rosita and Sasha's hands. But I would bet that the episode is going to heavily focus on those guys and whoever else is at the hilltop.
I mean, who else is in the mix? That we have Jesus and Daryl, Alex?
At the hilltop?
Yeah.
Well, you got Maggie over there. You got your buddy Gregory.
Yes.
He's doing stuff.
Yeah.
I believe Enid's still there as well.
Yeah.
But if we end up with Sasha and Rosita on the road, is it possible that we have like some sort of a standalone mission? Or you think that Jesus ends up going off with them, Alex?
It's possible, but I don't know. You would have to find them on their escape, I think. Otherwise,
Jesus knows how to get to the hilltop, or to get to the sanctuary rather. So he would at least be somebody to consult, if not bring with you. Like, he's the guy who knows how to get there.
But Rosita hasn't exactly been a good listener lately, so I don't think she knows that Jesus knows this.
That's probably a good point.
What do you think is the stopping point for the Walking Dead half season, Josh? Have you given any thought to this?
To the stopping point.
Yes. To what do we ultimately lead up to in season 7? Season 7 begins with Negan killing Abraham and Glenn. What does it end with?
Good. That's a really good question. I mean, I think that, you know, this season has been the buildup of Rick realizing that they can't live this way, that they can't live under somebody's thumb. And this whole half season has been about Rick trying to figure out, how are we actually going to be able to take this fight to Negan? And it seems like, even though they are mentally already at war, like they are emotionally at that place, they haven't made a move against the Saviors. I would bet that that doesn't happen until the final episode of the season. I would bet that there's going to be a moment in this season where Rick is finally going to reveal his cards to Negan. He's going to make his move. It's going to be out there. And that's going to be right around the time we're starting to wrap up, that this is going to be a very, very long setup to the war. And I think that season 8 would probably be the season of full blown war.
Okay. So you think that the season ends on the planning of the attack, and we don't get to see, like, the season 3, I believe, ends where we have some sort of a raid on everything going on with the governor Woodbury, that we're not going to get that until season 8, is what you're saying?
I don't think that we're going to get it resolved, at least until season 8. Like, I don't think that this will end anytime soon. Like, this conflict is not ending in season 7. This is making its way into season 8 for sure. I could see there there being action taken. I could see there being violence. I could see there being an explicit understanding between the two sides that this is a war and that we're not playing by your rules anymore. I think we could definitely get there this season, but I don't see it wrapping up this season.
When do we get the people at the kingdom to double back and check with Rick? Alex, is Rick just continuing to go off and run errands for the garbage people? Like, do we have to see Rick go to Oceanside before we can see him get back to everybody at the kingdom?
Potentially. And I think that's the problem with expecting anything too profound in the way of, full-blown war, as Josh is describing, this season, because there are still a few loose ends that need to be tied up. And I think ultimately what you're waiting for before things really kick off is some kind of table where Rick is seated, Ezekiel's seated, Maggie's seated, some leader from the Oceanside to say you've got every leader at one council. Until we get that scene, I don't think we can really expect things to really kick off. And I feel like that's the kind of scene that we get in the season finale. Maybe the last scene of the season is Rick like standing on a hill with his army behind him about to attack, you know, the Sanctuary, giving some kind of Mel Gibson from Braveheart speech. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I totally agree with Josh. I think there's just not enough time left in the season and there's too many pieces that still need to be picked up before we can actually go for it. So, but I think that sets us up. You know, it's unfortunate that we'd have to wait for season 8, but I really like what that means for season 8.
You know, we were heading into the season finale about a year ago around this time, and we were expecting, okay, is Negan going to show up? When is Negan going to show up? And we were, you know, for people who were sort of like in the know of what happens when Negan arrives in the comic books, we were expecting that somebody was going to die. We did not think it was going to be a cliffhanger going into season 7's off season. Josh, do you think this season ends on anything remotely similar cliffhanger wise?
If it does, then wow, the balls on The Walking Dead. If they do what they did last time, I think that would be a real mistake. Obviously I'm in the camp of I didn't think that it worked very well. Your mileage may vary, but I feel like that would be a crummy place to end this season after the backlash last year to do another cliffhanger ending. I don't know. And I feel like that's usually not how Walking Dead ends the seasons. I feel like more often than not, the seasons end with some sense of closure. I think it's mostly the case. I don't know. I think it's half and half. I think that you could splice it both ways.
Like
season two,
leaving Herschel's farm, is that closure or that's a cliffhanger?
Yeah. I would call that the end of a story.
It's like a saga ender, yeah.
That's the end of the Herschel's farm saga, exactly. And mm-hmm. I think in season 3, it's the end of the Woodbury thing. Season 4 ends with a cliffhanger. Season 5, I don't think, is a real cliffhanger unless you're like really hung up on the fact that Reg got his head cut off. Maybe you are.
Season 6
is certainly a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I think season 5 is a bit of resolution because it's like, oh, it's a new day in Alexandria.
Right. Exactly, and then yeah. Season 6 is back to cliffhanger. So maybe it's a cliffhanger on the even numbered seasons. It's like the Star Trek movie thing.
Yeah,
we could see that. And yeah, I think it'd be enough. You know, it doesn't have to be like a full closure. I think, you know, like I'm talking about Rick at a table with a bunch of leaders and he puts his hand down. And is like, all right, it's time. Like, I could definitely see that be the way the season ends.
OK.
Yeah. And that would count as closure
yes.
to me.
All right. In the episode tonight, we saw the savior who ended up killing Benjamin. Gavin got pissed and said, OK, you walk home. Do we run into that guy at any point down the road? Literally, Alex.
Oh, we've got to. That guy's
who runs into him.
Oh, Morgan's going to get that guy for sure.
Going to get that guy, Josh.
I like that Morgan has turned the Aikido stick into an Aikido spear, by the way. I feel like this is a great new direction for Morgan. Morgan's plan was to just go back out there and start killing immediately. Isn't that what he told Carol? So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Carol's house is now like Morgan's murder headquarters. Like, I feel like this
Dexter?
Is like his... Yeah, like this is the kill room. Yeah, he's going to just bring people back and have the house covered in saran wrap.
Yeah, I think the dynamic between Gavin and his guy there is interesting because I see the saviors all collectively you know, to a degree, at least the ones going out and, you know, on the missions, the one that Negan trusts enough to go out and bully other people. I mean, they're all very much like the people who used to bully people in high school. You know what I mean? And they've just like found a spiritual awakening in this new world. Like, oh, this is made for me. Once again, I'm in charge. So, but you've got these varying degrees of it, right? Where it's like Gavin recognizes that you can't push people too far versus this other guy who doesn't have that kind of long-term awareness. So it's a bunch of inmates running an asylum. And even though there's like a hierarchical system, it's very hard, it seems like, for them to keep each other in line.
Do you know what I really liked was the moment when Gavin is showing Ezekiel that there are only 11 cantaloupes, not 12. And Ezekiel's like, this can't be real. And Gavin says, it's real. It's happening.
It is happening.
Yeah. He goes full Papa Bear.
Yeah, he is the Papa Bear of the Saviors, that guy.
Yes, yes.
I wanted a job that wasn't going to be stressful.
What about the moment where he tells this guy, he tells the long-haired Savior douche, he says, go walk out of here. If you even shoot me a look, I'll kill you right now. And the guy immediately shoots him a look.
Yeah, fat
and
look.
Gavin
yeah,
doesn't right. kill the guy.
Yeah.
What kind of leader is that? He's not following through on his word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just to go back to Morgan and where he stands, that in Benjamin's dying, I mean, didn't Morgan hear the words about how if you become someone who strikes people, and I can't find the line in my notes, then you become like worse than your opponent?
To injure your opponent is to injure yourself.
Right. Like, weren't those words echoing through his mind, Josh? So you feel like that Morgan is just totally a lost cause at this point now?
No, I don't think he's totally a lost cause at this point now. I do think that he's potentially, you know, a very valuable asset on this team. When Morgan was in the killing business was great. Mm-hmm. You know, he was really good at it. He was very efficient at killing people and was especially, he was especially good when he would just be like hiding in the woods or hiding in strange places and then emerging and stabbing you in the face or the throat or wherever. So I feel like Morgan being in kill mode as our heroes are trying to gear up and go to war, if he's directed in the right direction, you know, he could be like the Hulk. You know, he's like, you have a Hulk on your side, and if you just point it in the right spot and unleash the carnage in that direction, I feel like that's a good thing.
I think that Morgan's Aikido really did save him and pull him out of his insanity. And these core principles of Aikido, you know, to injure your opponent is to injure yourself. These he's been clinging to, and they've been, you know, core principles that have kind of helped him maintain his sanity. To hear Benjamin echoing them in his moment of death, where like they didn't help Benjamin, they didn't come through for me the way I needed them to. It's easy to see how he then loses faith in those principles, and those principles were like the things keeping him sane.
Needs to find Tabitha the goat, Josh.
So yeah, he does have some words yeah. ring around in his head there, but I think the words are clear and get out and all these other crazy things.
Okay. All right. Well, we will see ultimately what happens with Morgan, and it seems like it's going to be a week off for everybody from the kingdom, but we'll pick things up. Looking forward to getting into your feedback questions on our Walking Dead feedback show. Josh and I have been having a lot of fun getting into all of that with you guys this season. Send us in your questions. You can email them twd@postshowrecaps.com or go to postshowrecaps.com/voicemail to send us in your voicemail. Mail, feedback, questions. Of course, we'll also look and cherry pick the comments on postshowrecaps.com. Josh, did you write anything about this episode tonight?
No, I took this one off.
Birthday weekend.
Did not write about The Walking Dead this week. Yes, birthday weekend, no writing. Stayed away from the computer pretty much except for podcasting. It was a good time.
That sounds very nice.
Nice.
It was great.
I hope you guys get some good Sir Richard conspiracy theory emails this week. I think that'd be fun.
Okay, good. Well, we want to hear them. Send them in on the feedback show. Of course, you could follow Josh on Twitter. He is at @RoundHoward. Alex is at @AlexKidwell, and I'm at @RobSestrino. Alex, anything else about Walking Dead tonight? Okay. Where I'm going to get the full download from Alex, who's already watched half an hour of Talking Dead tonight, which
wow.
included Lenny James on Skype.
On Skype?
Yeah.
But wow. none other than Michael Rooker on the couch. So that was fun.
Okay. So,
oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's fun.
I will watch it and give my full report coming up this Wednesday on the Walking Dead feedback show. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to not miss an episode. Go to postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. And we always appreciate the feedback and star ratings. Take care. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.